While you listen to Bet Cozzy and Limo, imagine you were laying poolside in the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery's $3 million Somerton Park home. Yep, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Homelottery.com.au. Bet Cozzy and Limo. SAFM.
Beck's decided that she's taking an exchange student. Don't know why, but Beck is taking an exchange student. Apprehensive, but her daughter Miller made her do it. Beck's determined that she's taking an exchange student.
We're a week in. We've had Moet in our family for a week now.
Wow. How's it going? Is everyone getting to know each other and feeling relaxed?
She is great. No issues with her. She is actually perfect.
Where's she from?
She's from Japan. She does everything that's asked for her, much more than my children
do. Do you think at some point your kids will look at her and go, hey, pull up on being so well-behaved, you're making us look bad?
Well, I think that is the problem. Her behaviour is great. It's my little ungrateful little brats. And I guess when you see your family's dynamic through fresh eyes,
it
kind of makes you reflect on how you do things in your family. And as you know, and I've talked about it for years, I'm not a good cook, and the family meal, we actually have a roster because I need help with the cooking because I'm no good at it. But the other night I cooked a pasta bake and I thought it was really good. I was happy with it. Yeah. I spent some time on it. There were olives in it. Miller hates olives. And so she refused to eat the meal. So there's Moet eating the pasta and being grateful and she seemed to like it.
And being grateful.
When Miller says
so
she's
talking to your other three kids.
Yeah.
When Miller says she's not going to eat it, does she just go, I'm not eating it? Or
so
do you say you're going to eat it?
She pushed away and said, I'm not eating it. I'm like, well, this is awkward because what if it's actually really bad and Moet doesn't want to eat it, but she's too polite, or she doesn't have the English to communicate this is rubbish.
So it's forced to eat it.
So then I thought, well, I'm not going to make another meal for Miller. So I always put some sides on the table to go with the main meal because that's the kind of provider I am.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Some sides are better than others on different days. This was a disappointing day for me in the side department. So I wanted to make an example of Miller for not eating her meal. So I said, well, that's fine. I'm not making anything else. You can just fill your plate with what else I've got on the table.
Oh, so the sides are becoming
the sides became the main.
Yeah, right.
The sides.
Yep.
Were potato gems and slices of cucumber.
Oh, wow.
All right. Is Miller free?
Although I have, it's a potato gem. Potato gems in tomato sauce or barbie sauce.
That's not a healthy meal. And usually I did the cucumbers because I like greens on the table. And sometimes I'll do broccoli or zucchini. Right. And it was literally like slices of cucumber.
Did you hand her one of those mushy pumpkin squeezies that should they suck it out of?
She was eating on one of those plates that has like the little partitions in it.
So a bento box?
In front of this poor child who is in my care, she watched her host sister eat potato gems and cucumber for dinner. What must she have said to her mother at home in Japan?
She would have said what we're all thinking.
Help.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
On Monday, the South Aussie Cozzy team went out to support a local cafe on Port Road. Thought we'd go out for lunch and pump some money through the economy. Mm. And it was myself and five girls. And it's fair to say they were laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And having a little bit too much fun by the sounds of it because this happened. Four or five tables away, there was an old lady sitting next to, you know, maybe like a 55-year-old lady. The lady would have been 70-plus. A table of girls just kept laughing and laughing and laughing, laughing quite loud. To the point where I did think at one point, your laugh's fairly loud, girls. You might want to tone it down a bit. This old duck gets up and she walked past us and she looks at the table and she says one single word. Unbearable.
Really?
She said that really loudly.
Yeah.
The girls were laughing that hard. They didn't even hear her. I thought she was just talking about South Aussie with Cozzy. Bit of feedback. Anyway, we're asking you guys on 131060, have you ever been shushed in public? Where was it and what happened?
I got retrospectively shushed at a Ben Folds 5 concert. I am a bit annoying at a concert. If I know the words to a song, I'll sing them.
That's okay.
But why can't you sing
Well, afterwards she just said that I ruined it for her.
Oh, no. Are you sure she was referring to the singing?
Yeah, she was just like, yeah. And I was like, oh. But she didn't shush me, which I would have actually preferred her shush me during the concert because then I might have shushed. She's a brick and I'm drowning.
Oh, yes. Shush. She had a point. I was at Rod Laver Arena, the Australian Open, one year watching Serena Williams. I can't remember who she was playing. Mm. Game of singles, tennis.
Yep.
And I had a packet of chips.
Oh, right? No.
And I opened the chips and started, and I got shushed eating chips at the tennis.
And if you're going to shush someone at the tennis, you don't go shush, you go, quiet, please. Steve from Burton, what happened to you, mate?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, mate.
Yeah, so I was having a quiet coffee one morning and I was on the phone to my daughter and I had a stranger standing next to me that told me to shush on the phone.
Really? What? And what, yeah. Were you outside? Were you in a cafe?
I was inside. Yeah, sitting inside at a cafe that I go to every morning. But this customer didn't like me talking, so he told me to shush.
The funny thing about being shush, Steve, is that like it kind of throws you. And like when this old lady shushed me on Port Road, it was kind of like you're so taken back, you can't respond until they walk away. Then you go, oh, and you think of all the cool things you could have said.
Tiffany in Adelaide, when were you shushed?
Oh, we were shushed. My mother-in-law and I went to an ABBA tribute show, and we were standing up, singing really loudly, dancing. Yeah. People behind us are like, sit down, shush. And we're like, nah. So we just kept singing more loudly and loudly.
Yeah, people who tell you to sit down at concerts, don't the artists want to look into the crowd and see people standing up and dancing and enjoying themselves?
They do, but don't stand on your chair because that...
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You be you, boo, Tiffany.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. You go for it. Mother-in-law, you know, dancing around. It's fun.
No, don't ever shush anyone having fun, I reckon.
Exactly.
If people are having fun, just let them ride. Beck's on the line from Seaford Meadows. What about you, bud?
In scary horror movies in the cinema, I've got this thing that I absolutely crack up laughing just before the jump scare scene.
Oh,
it's like I can see them coming and I just start laughing and all of a sudden it happens and everyone else is scared and there I am still laughing. And I get told off all the time and I can't help it.
Yeah, I get, but Beck, I kind of get it because it would take people out of the moment in the horror film. That's happened to me at the movies with my mum too. Because mum asks a lot of questions.
Who's that? Is that
during a film?
Is that the one from before?
Yes. And why is he walking there? Oh, look. They look lovely together. They should be. Yes, mum.
Yeah.
All right, Mike from Waverley. When did you get shushed?
So I remember a couple of years ago, I was at a Stereos or Soundwave festival. System of a Down was actually playing. I was deep in the crowd as well, far back.
Yep.
Dancing around, jumping around, singing, having a good time. And somebody's leaned through the crowd, grabbed my shoulder. And he shushed me. I was like, what?
What? A music festival.
Could you barely even hear the shush? It would have been that loud.
Right. That's what I was saying. But then the kicker is, 10 minutes later, he did it again. He was like, oh, nah, sorry, man. Like, you've got a right to be here. I was like, come on, man.
he's apologised for the shush, which is something, Mike, you don't see a lot. People don't normally come back and go, do you know what? I shushed prematurely and I'm sorry. Kylie from down in the southeast, what about you, mate?
We went to the Illuminate Festival in Adelaide recently, about 3 weeks ago, and we went to the zoo, and the zoo one, it was fantastic. But anyway, we're walking around, and I didn't realise that there was quiet areas, and we went to the monkey enclosure part, and there was a sign there, baboon. I'm like, oh, look, quick kids, cool, baboon, baboon, and start making silly monkey noises. So the security guard ran over to me and was like... and telling me off flat out.
What, because the monkeys are trying to sleep?
Oh, I think that's fine, Kylie. Play on.
You're trying to have a bit of fun.
Yeah, and also, what does that monkey have to do in a day? It does nothing. It can sort of sit up late for a month while Illuminate happens.
Michelle in Clarence Park, when were you shushed?
I was shushed at the Ed Sheeran concert.
Oh.
We were kind of up in the stands. I was with my friend, hadn't seen her for a while. We were talking and we were told to shush.
Right. And so did the person think, were you ruining their concert experience by drowning
absolutely.
Out Ed.
Yeah. Yep. I think talking at a concert's different to singing at a concert, Michelle.
Oh, are you anti talking at a concert?
I am, sorry.
So you potentially
I wouldn't shush. I might have given some side eye.
Okay.
I don't have that's a different phone topic, the side eye.
I also don't have the confidence to shush. I don't think it would matter what someone was doing. I don't think I'd have the confidence to tell someone to be quiet.
I can't believe how many people are getting shushed at concerts. Who would be your biggest shusher? Would it be the librarian? Would they be your biggest shusher?
It's it, mate. Wow. They get trained to shush. They go to shush school.
They go to shush school.
They do. Yeah, I've been there. I've seen lecturers lecturing shush. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I do shush people regularly when I'm hosting a corporate function.
Oh.
I shush into the microphone.
I do that. Oh, really? Nah.
Yeah, it's alarmingly effective.
Mm. Yeah, but you always look silly as an MC, I reckon.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm happy to shush him.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Did you guys hear the story about the gate crasher at a Brazilian wedding just the other day?
No.
A couple were getting married in Brazil.
Yeah.
And a dog just wandered into the church.
It's a sign.
And sat itself down near the altar. And just sat there quietly and politely. Mm-hmm. And then when the bride and groom left the church, the dog followed them out of the church.
Did it?
And it sat with them outside.
Aww.
And it was a street dog. Now, Brazil has a real problem with street dogs. Apparently, this breaks my heart. 20 million of them, apparently.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the dogs, they should have a home and be cuddled every night.
Go to Brazil, then.
Go and adopt 20 million dogs,
then. It's hard to adopt 20 million dogs. Anyway, the couple have kept the dog. They took the dog with them because it came to their wedding. It gate crashed. It was really lovely, and that warmed my heart. And it reminded me of a number of years ago when I was in Myanmar with my wife. Mm-hmm. And actually, we weren't married then. Mm. Oh, no, we were married.
Oh,
that's why I was getting the date.
It's like my grandparents telling the story.
Yeah, I know.
Was I married? Were we married to you?
Anyway. We were going to take May North Grove, but then we tried that new expressway, and I'll tell you, I don't know how much time it actually shaves off. Just put it in the GPS!
Okay. Your partner, right. Kel. Yes.
We're in a little town called Mandalay, which is named after the casino in Las Vegas. And we're having breakfast one morning, and it was a buffet breakfast, and I'm sitting down for breakfast.
Now I'm listening.
And Kel is a vegetarian, right? And I look across at Kel. She returns from the buffet with a plate full of bacon, sausages, bits of ham. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, shh. I said, what's all this? She goes, shut up. I said, but it doesn't. She goes, shh. And I went, oh, all right. And then I see her get a bag and she scrapes all the bacon and sausages and ham off the table into this bag. And I just go, oh, great. We're feeding street dogs. And we spent the whole morning feeding street dogs in Mandalay. And let me show you a photo. Have a look
at these.
That's
romantic.
Have a look at these photos. This is a photo I've taken of Kel feeding street dogs. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, there's some mangy dogs. Like, one dog really has not much hair on its body.
And, so that's what we...
And puppies as well.
Do you know, in Cambodia, same deal, there's dogs like that everywhere. Mm. Mangy, no hair.
Oh.
And if you give them, like, a worming tablet or, you deflam them or you demite them, in 6 weeks, they're completely different. Fur grows back. It's amazing. You can start a really good charity. I'm sure there already is, but about helping dogs like that. Big
indeed.
Problem.
And they're very good.
Let's look at the photo.
They're very good communicators, dogs, because once word got out that there was this Western woman with a bag full of treats, I'll tell you what, a queue formed around the block, and it was not an orderly queue either. No.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Anyone who has tried to get a passport lately will know that there are huge delays, which means you have to pay extra to have it priority. And they reckon 15 weeks now. So if there's any chance you want to travel in the next couple of months, I would be getting it in now.
Do you know, I worked out how much, you know, obviously we couldn't travel for some time. Like, Australians couldn't go overseas.
Yeah.
I worked out how many Australians had passports and how much it cost for you to have your passport during that time. And it worked out to be Australians had paid $500 million for passports that they couldn't use during the 3 years of COVID. I reckon we should get that back when you renew your passport, they should give you a couple of years extra on it for free because you paid for something you couldn't use.
And now we're paying priority because they can't get their act together in time. Yes, it's a rort. Anyway, they reckon 2.4 million Australian passports expired as of January 2021. And, of course, everyone decides to travel at the same time and they can't keep up with demand. So exacerbating that problem is a very mundane issue in Melbourne.
Mm.
The printer broke.
Oh, no.
I just love that there's one bloke who sits there at the passport office on the printer, printing out everyone's passports. So who's so the printer's broken.
So it's delayed it even further.
Can't you just draw the picture? Instead of getting the passport photo printed into the passport.
Or just put some paper in a different tray. That's what we do here.
Imagine if it's jammed, like it's jammed, and then someone there's got to open up the printer and they pull out a half-printed Rebecca Morse picture. Like, what happens to that? Do they have to destroy it? Do they throw it out?
No, they send it back.
Yeah.
No, they send it like they still put it in the passport. Imagine there's a couple of people with really wrinkled up faces. Yeah. They were the ones stuck in the printer.
Oh, you know what I reckon it is. It'd either be cyan or magenta.
Mm. Always is. Yeah.
It's always cyan. You've run out of cyan.
I mean, someone's brought their kids into work to print out like school projects and stuff. No. I used to do that at SAFM. Kids would have something to print out, be 20 pages of colour. Oh, no, kids. We head into SAFM on Greenhill Road about half past eight at night, no one there. Yeah. I printed like buggery there. Yeah. Ah, bugger them, you do enough overtime.
Yeah. Hey, maybe they're trying to save money on printer ink as well. So how is printer ink so expensive, by the way?
What is in it?
Well, I have no idea. Gold dust, diamonds, and dodo bird beak. I mean, it costs. It's that expensive.
What about
it's a
the
joke.
Numbers? I go to Officeworks and I've forgotten to take a photo of what's missing. I don't know if I've got an 801.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
and then you get the wrong size.
And they talk to you like you should know. You got the 801 or the 835? I go, well, seriously?
Can you describe what it looks like? No.
Yeah.
Is it a Canon? I can't remember. Okay. You need to start again.
I can tell you where every McDonald's is within 3 metres from the CBD of Adelaide, but I don't know what sort of ink cartridge you have. Don't be silly.
Well, you can't eat an ink cartridge. That's the difference.
What happens when one of the people in your relationship goes to get the ink cartridge? You know when you're the one that's at home. You know the phone's going to ring. Babe, I'm at bloody Office Works. What is that? Is it an Epson? Well, I don't know. Well, could you get up?
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Car parking very much in the news at the moment. Reports that more than 1,000 healthcare support workers are about to strike over their parking charges. And parking stresses me. Parking stresses me out a lot. And I want to know, is it just me? Or do you get stressed out about parking as well?
You get genuinely anxious though, don't you?
It's genuine. So we talked about this yesterday. Guys, every morning you watch me attempt to get into my car park downstairs on Franklin Street.
Oh, it's a sport. Sometimes I just love seeing how long it takes you to park.
There are mornings where Cos and I will stand either side of the park and just watch you go back and forth.
I argue it's not a regulation size car park. I tell you what, I
tell you who would argue. The poor bastard that has to park next to you every day you're either on his
line.
Side.
I know.
I'll tell you who would argue. The white line that you're parked on and the white line that you're 6 feet away from.
How can you get out of your car and realise you're so encroaching into the other car park?
I have genuine car park anxiety.
Is it just me?
You do get out of your car and I'll often say to you, Beck, you're in the other guy's car park. And then you'll go, it's not my fault.
Well, kind of it's not just getting into the actual car park.
Yeah.
It's multi-storey car parks all per se.
Is it the cement pillars that are there and stuff?
Well, but it's everything. It's every car park is different. So some are two-way streets to get out, or some you've got to go. Some's one way, so you've got to go up to go down. And I don't know where the parking stations are.
But that's the road through the car park. The actual parks themselves, there's just two.
I understand
lines
that,
and a gap where
but
you
I'm just saying it's
middle.
An existential issue with car parks per se, not just getting into the car park.
Okay, it's Therapy Thursday. the number is 131060, and Beck is asking the question. Is it just me? Or do you get stressed in car parks? Do you have anxiety as well, Rebecca? In Hewitt, are you with Beck?
Oh, I am so with Beck. And, you know, it's not just about getting into the car park. Then you've got to think of how you're going to get out.
Oh. Yes. Have you seen all the scrapes on the side of car park walls?
But also,
oh, my God. Scrapes on the side. I can't even get in and out of my garage without hitting it.
You know, I'll talk to both Rebeccas here. My wife insisted we put a carport on the side of our house, which I said we didn't need. And she insisted on doing it. Had the carport made with an automatic roller door.
Mm.
She went to put her car in at once. She thought it was too hard to get in and out. She has never parked in that in the last 5 years. Never once.
Yeah. Hey, Rebecca, what kind of car do you have, Rebecca?
Oh, at the moment, I've got a Nissan Pathfinder, but I've had everything from a little smart car through to a Ranger, and all have been crashed.
Oh, really?
Okay. Rebecca, I think this might be a user issue more so than the car parks.
Maybe it's in the name.
All right.
Oh, look at this in Hope Valley. It's another Beck. Well,
Beck, do you share this?
Hi, how are you?
What happens to you, Beck? Do you get stressed when you go into car parks?
So stressed going into a car park, and I had an incident at Adelaide Hospital where I got stuck for 2 hours trying to find my car.
Oh no.
But then call my girlfriend, have her laugh at me, and then I needed to go and find security, and they had to look it up on the TV footage.
Story ever.
Which is so easy to happen. Once you park your car, if you don't remember which level or where it was, it is very hard.
It's one of the great.
It was awful. It was the worst experience ever. I hate that car park.
Oh, I love the passion. It's one of the great episodes of Seinfeld when they can't find their car in the car park.
Can I just take this photo in a slightly different direction? If you're a Beck that's listening right now and you're a bad parker, 131060.
This is not about being a bad parker. It's about being genuinely intimidated by navigating car parks.
Ali in Aberfoyle Park. Is it just me? Do you get stressed in car parks?
I certainly do. I think they have a competition, these people that design the car parks, how many car parks they can fit in one place.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Seriously, I have my favourite park at work for my Juju, I call her, my beautiful car. And if I don't get that car park in the morning, it ruins my day. Ruins my day.
Oh, I can't imagine the stress.
Maybe they could, because they're quite grey and dark, aren't they, Ali, the traditional car park? Maybe they need more bright colours, a bit of, light music. Like, they could make an effort to make the park a bit more lovely, a bit of street art.
Get some street art in there. I think that might be the answer.
Street art's not going to help.
Would that make you feel better?
No, I want them to be consistent.
Should we go to an expert?
There's an expert in car parking.
There is an expert in car parking. He's a mate of mine, and he is the CEO of Parking Australia. I hosted their awards dinner at the Convention Centre earlier this year. Stuart Norman, good morning, mate.
Leno, Beck, Cozzy.
The CEO of Parking Australia. Wow. Well, I'll be buggered.
Job I'll never get.
Stuart, is car parking anxiety a thing? Is Beck onto something here?
Well, by the number of phone calls and emails I get, car park anxiety is definitely a thing.
Okay.
And what's the major cause of people's stress?
Running into other cars and running into walls. And probably the best trend at the moment is people going with high vehicles with bikes on roof racks and thinking it's the car park's fault, and somehow the bike disappeared off the top of the car.
Hey, Stewie, as CEO of Parking Australia, what's the most common complaint that you guys get there that you go, oh, hey, Sue, here's another one. Look at this one.
The most common one is, I didn't know I had to pay.
Really?
That is brilliant. Hey, Sue, what about, I believe there is a change coming to brand new car parks, an exciting change. What is it?
Well, we hope so. Standards Australia, that look after all the standards for buildings around the country, are about to release a review, and they should have going to release it back in May, but didn't get to it, for car parks. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing is that the last time they did a review into the car parking standard, it was 2004. Mm-hmm.
You're starting to get boring, Stuart. Just hurry up.
Go. 2004. You think of so cars in 2004 were a lot smaller. Yeah. I don't know about Beck, but Beck's probably not driving a 1982 gold Gemini. Okay.
No.
Probably driving something a bit bigger. Mm. So one of the things we think will happen, is that car sizes will get bigger because the average
you're going to make the spaces will get bigger.
There you go.
Praise be. That is life changing for me, Stu.
Yeah, but Beck, here's the bad thing. Mm. The standards are not retrospective. It's only going to be for new car parks.
Right. So anyway, you're going to have to find a new car park and park in that one every day.
Hey, Stewie, I don't know if you can do this or not, but I don't know about Beck's car park here on Franklin Street. If you could make it like a padded cell, that would help a lot of people.
Rebecca from O'Halloran Hill, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you get car park anxiety as well?
Not at all. Just you, Beck.
Well, no, well, there were other Becks, but yeah, it's good to see a Beck that can park, though. Where do you get your confidence from?
At practice.
Okay.
Well, what would your advice be to Beck?
Get out there in an empty car park and just practice.
That is a great idea, yeah.
Yeah, and if you want, get those, you know, like when you start learning to park, get your little broomsticks out,
yes.
Got yourself in.
That's great.
Put a tennis ball up if you need it.
There we go. And Rebecca, would you also recommend that Cos and I be there with video cameras recording all of this?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, right.
Maybe one inside the car as well.
Oh, good also, suggestion.
You know what, Beck, when you park, because you're not confident enough, you always leave about a meter and a half before the front of the park, so your car sticks out a lot. So when I reverse, because I park next to you, when I leave before you, it's very hard for me to get out because your bum and your car sticking out so far. Then
your bum is sticking out so far.
Then I almost back into the car because I've got to go so far back. It's right. There's flow-on effects here. I think other Beck's right. You should just get out there and practice.
Yeah.
Thanks for your feedback.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Beck, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Beck's Fit.
Serena Williams will play the US Open in New York this month, and it will be her final tennis tournament. Announcing, well, she doesn't want to use the word retirement. She doesn't like it. She's evolving into the next stage of her life, which is focusing on her family and motherhood. Huge career earnings of $95 million.
She's a freakish tennis player. She's the best women's tennis player ever, and there's a good argument that she is just men and women the greatest tennis player ever.
Yeah.
Certainly, if she wins the US Open, she'll go past Margaret Court for major tournament.
Yeah. So is that her last game then?
Yeah. That's her last tournament. So last major tournament, or last tournament altogether, I should say. But they'll be cheering for us so hard in New York.
I would love to see that, particularly with, you know, Margaret Court and who she's outed herself to be as a person recently. So her record is 24 Grand Slams and Serena on 23. But I think most athletes, when they retire, acknowledge that they know that it's time and it's on their own terms. Like Ash Barty did that, for example. We were all shocked by that. She's gone out on top, but said she knew and she was happy with the decision. The really sad thing for me is she's done an article in Vogue magazine, which I've just read, and she's basically said she doesn't want to retire. She has said, and it's in black and white, "Believe me, I never wanted to have to choose between tennis and a family. I don't think it's fair. If I were a guy, I wouldn't be writing this because I'd be out there playing and winning while my wife was doing the physical labour of expanding our family." So she has put in black and white the decision that so many women have had to make over the years to sacrifice their career, to put their career on hold, because she said she's got one child. She has some health complications after that pregnancy, and in order to have another child, she can't play sport at an elite level
anymore. So she's already got one child. Mm. So why can't her husband look after the child?
Well, because of the taxing on the physical, she's got to take a year off to have a child, and she
just
can't get back.
Physical stress on her own body.
Yeah, it's not the caring for the child, but the biological imperative is that she has to get pregnant, take 9 months out. She had health complications. She's got to breastfeed. And she has basically said she has had to make a decision, and she's chosen her family, which is great. But I just hope that she never regrets that decision.
That she should have played on.
Look, she's had a pretty remarkable career.
It's
hard to imagine what else she could have done in her
sporting
career.
I know, but she said
career.
She's not ready. I think that's
but
so sad.
But then why don't she just push on a bit? Like,
because she can't. She's 40, and I guess by the time she has a year off.
But then to say that, you know, men could have played on, I mean, it's just, there's not much you can do about it, do you know what I mean? Like, she's
40.
I know, it's a biological imperative.
Yeah, if she wants to have a child, she's got to stop playing tennis. It's not, there's no solution, that's all I'm saying.
No, but it's unfair that women have to carry this burden.
How do you, what's the solution? What's the alternative?
The solution is,
well, there's not much.
No, the solution is you go back in time to catch up with God.
can we lay an egg instead?
It should be an acknowledgement. Thank you to men who've never had time out from their career, as I've had to do 3 times when I've had babies. I went back sooner than I wanted to go back because of my career. So I was either letting my kids down or I was letting my job down, and I have always felt that. And I think that is a burden that women carry.
There's no question that women in the workforce juggle so much more than men. Like, I look at the women that work for South Aussie with Cozzy, and they are incredible at time management and incredible at balancing. And that's why I think, as an employer, which is something that we pride ourselves on, that I always say to the women that work for us, be a mum first and an employee second. And that help, that works twofold. One, that woman that is employed by you will always be happier. She'll never think she's missed a sports day or a parent-teacher interview or whatever. And giving them the flexibility, I think you get a better employee as well.
Yeah, but she's her own boss and she's had to retire herself to be a mum.
I know, but what's this?
I'm just saying that aren't women incredible, the sacrifices we have to make?
Yeah, but it's that. But it's not a how unfair is this men can do this.
I'm not angry at you. I think it's sad when I read that, that she has had to make a decision.
Yeah. But don't be mad at men because of that, though. Like that's
I don't
not,
believe I'm mad at men.
Okay.
I don't hate men.
It's a frustrating situation.
I just think when an elite sports woman reflects an experience that working women have, it's worth discussing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a very difficult and frustrating situation. There's no question about
it. Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzie and Limo for breakfast.
I was watching The Block last night, and wouldn't you love to buy a block house when they're completely finished, brand new, in great locations? How good would that be?
Dave Hughes did exactly that.
Yes, knowing they could possibly fall apart because they weren't constructed properly.
That's what I want to talk about. You know what? People are paying big, big money to buy the block houses. Like, I mean, take a listen to this.
$4,256,000 a bid now. Quickly. $4,000.
Yeah, that's big money.
Although, was that the one purchased by the woman who ended up being a fake, who was recently in like a Ukrainian war video?
Look, all I'm saying though is, why on earth would you pay big money to buy a house that was completed in a rushed format? Like, what? There's no sane person that would pay big money for a block house knowing they've actually shown you how they've rushed it. They've actually put them on the clock and rushed it. Now, you might be listening to me right now and thinking, oh, he's being too harsh. I'm going to play you some audio from 10 minutes of the show last night, which is my proof that you should never buy a block house because they're rushing the job. The end product would be crap. You watch the show and you can just see it.
We're way off.
God.
A quick fix was, should we just throw a door on it?
Just throw
a door on it.
What was the problem?
I don't think they knew.
Crack in the wall, throw a door on it.
You might just think that's just one example. Costello, you're being too harsh on the block. They're doing a great job of building houses. Okay, want another one?
Your waterproofer is priming the floor with mud.
That worries me a lot.
We just need to finish the room. Yeah. And pray that it gets done properly.
And pray. I really don't want prayers involved when I'm spending $3 million on a house.
I just want to finish the room and pray. It just drives me up the wall. Now, even Scott Cam, the face of the block, the head honcho, openly admitted last night that they're rushing it.
Completing a bathroom in only a week means all of our teams are under the pump.
They're under the pump. You tell me one job you do under the pump that's completed properly.
You show me one bathroom in Australia that was completed in under a week.
It's ludicrous. Yeah, people pay top money for the blockhouses. Yes. It's crazy.
My bathroom took about 3 months to make.
Oh, I don't know. Look, to me, it just appears as though they don't want to put in the extra effort to finish the job properly because they don't have time. You're not building a cake, ladies and gentlemen. You're building a house, for God's sake, and it should be done properly, especially if people have to buy it, but they just don't have time.
Just because we can have it doesn't mean we should have it.
We'll still get enough light in there. It's just that putting it in, it's going to take literally 8 hours of time.
You're saying all this on national TV, then you're expecting people to pay top dollar for your houses. All I'm saying, folks, is if you're considering it, don't buy a house from the block.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet, Cozzie and Limo for breakfast.
Get cramped and flies O'Brien.
Massive grab.
In 2022, there's nothing he won't do to make sure the Crows stand tall. Whoa, whoa, now at SAFM, Riley O'Brien.
Oh, he's a legendary ruckman from the mighty Adelaide Crows. Who are finishing the year very, very well. We'll talk about that in a second, Riley. But we've got
finishing the year well. I think not playing finals is not good.
What's the matter? Well, possibly going to be
team's crap as well.
mate, before we do that, though, front page of the paper about 5 days in a row was the Crows camp. Now, I was chatting about this the other day. You were on the Crows camp. What was it like?
Yeah, oh, well, all the stuff coming out's obviously really disappointing for the club and pretty sad seeing Eddie and JJ come out. But I was on a separate level to the camp, so those guys were on sort of a tier one level camp, and
so people were split into groups.
Yeah, we're in groups, so probably the 8 or 10 oldest guys are on that camp, and that's probably where all the dramas come from. And the camp the rest of us were on was pretty mild and easy, so. No, certainly no dramas for any of the guys on the rest of the camp. It was very basic.
Was there anything you walked away from going, oh my God, I can't believe we had to do that?
it was pretty eccentric, some of the stuff, but it was generally all fine. So all the stuff we did was absolutely fine, and no one would have had any issues. It was just that older camp where a few guys had some issues, and that's really sad to see.
Did they play the Richmond song over and over again on a bus?
Not that I'm aware of. On my camp, they didn't.
Right.
So I'm actually not sure, because we actually, I didn't really know what went on in their camp for the first year or two afterwards. So
It's actually a really catchy song. The Richmond. I know. I was there when they beat the Crows, and I hate them for that. But God, that song's catchy.
I think it's yellow and black. Best song in the league.
It's the pick of the club songs. Absolutely.
But did you know at the time how upset Eddie Betts and Josh Jenkins were?
Not really at the time when it actually happened, because, everyone's put on a face at the time, and they were pretty happy. So, we didn't really talk much about it afterwards, and didn't really debrief. So I probably didn't get that level of detail, and I probably wasn't on terms to find out from them as well. So, it's pretty sad to see obviously two greats of the club and two great guys I really go along with and have great respect for. So it's really sad to see that they've had really bad experiences. So hopefully they can get some closure and we can move on.
And when the stories start to come out, do you go to the blokes who were on the tier one camp and say, what the bloody hell was going on there? Or do you just let it slide?
I mean, it's probably been in the media for, 4 years now, so we've probably already had those conversations and got to the bottom of it. So, hopefully Eddie and JJ and guys are upset, get the proper apologies and can move on, and then we can sort of put it to bed, because I'm... pretty sick of hearing about it for 4 years.
Five more questions.
Now, this weekend, mate, now, correct me if I'm wrong. If you guys win this weekend and if Port lose, the showdown will decide who finishes top of the SA clubs.
So hopefully there's a bit to play for.
Wow.
So hopefully we can get a win this week. Obviously a good game at Adelaide Oval on Saturday, Arvo. So looking forward to that, to try and make it 3 on the trot and keep playing the way we've been playing. And then... yeah, showdown the week after.
Do you want to make a wager?
On the showdown, we can, for sure. Yeah.
What about I wear crows?
And I'll just remind you about your gambling obligations as a player.
Non-monetary wager.
I'll wear Crows merch, and you have to wear Port merch.
Okay.
Wow, that's so wacky. I remember you, Beck, did this once with Tex Walker, and she's like, okay, I'll wear a Crow scarf on the news if I lose, and you have to wear a Port scarf.
And we lost, and I had to wear a Crow scarf.
Did you wear a Crow scarf on the news?
Yeah, I did.
Well done. This is such a delicious end of the season. So you've got North Melbourne this weekend, which you'll win.
Yes.
I know you won't admit that now, but we all know you're going to win because North Melbourne are toilet. Port, no, they're completely rubbish.
They are
shocking.
Yeah.
They are so bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you've got Essendon.
Sounds like they need to go on a camp.
they need something. And you've got Essendon. So Port could beat Essendon this weekend, though. And if that happens... then, you remain one game.
Oh, my God. This is fascinating. Hey, okay.
It still be decided on showdown?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes. Beck, Cozzy and Limo. SAFM.